Welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone. Let's start the show.
I'm in the zone.
Now this week we whispering, so we're going to play it one more time.
Is that ASMR? What? What is happening?
No, friend zone. No. Our audience is comprised and compiled of a very, very aware and perceptive audience. You pay attention to detail. You pick up on everything, the little things, the references, the unseen and the hardly heard, which is why I felt comfortable and confident playing a whisper clip for you. Now, you had to listen very closely because there was whispering going on. Picture it. Atlanta.
Oh, gosh.
3-4 years ago. The law offices of Phaedra Fallacy Parks.
We just gonna
none other than Mama Joyce had come to visit Phaedra in her law office. Phaedra was holding her son. He was a toddler at the time, a wee boy of young age. No more than about 2 years old.
A wee boy.
Young in age, but old in heart. And I can say that because Mama Joyce was glaring and staring and leaning over him with a sneer, and she was baring her teeth, and she was looking at him and smiling the way that evil mean people do when they look at cute children.
What?
And the young boy, he withdrew. He withdrew a bit. He withdrew a bit, and his mom, Phaedra Parks, doing what we do. She leaned down and told him, "You gotta speak to me. If you speak to Mama Joyce, you get a treat. You gotta talk to Mama Joyce if you want a treat."
To say that.
And this wise young boy looked up at his mom with a look that said "Ma," but that's not what came out. You know what came on his mouth?
No, no, no. No, I'm just playing.
"I don't want a treat." So the whisper that you heard was, "You gotta talk to Mama Joyce if you want a treat." His reply was, "I don't want a treat." The point of this, you all, is that from now on we need to use wisdom and we need to think and use strategy in situations and really operate from a place of the best outcome for us. In the name of self-care and in the name of wellness, the hashtag this week is "I don't want a treat."
How did you even think of this clip, Dustin?
That's right, because of the
impact. That was a moment.
That's right. That's right. And I knew that it was something that was going to own its place in our culture. It really belongs in a museum.
Oh, Lord.
And with that being said, and most importantly understood,
and
welcome.
Whispered.
And whispered. You got to say it like an old person. Whisper. like it's P-U-H instead of P-U-I. Whisper. And now that we've whispered, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and mental hygiene, because who in the hell, Hades and or Sheol, would like a musty brain?
Not me, baby.
You see how y'all ain't hear nothing? Because nobody wants one. What's going on? Hey, friends.
Hey, Justin.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are your weekends?
Our weekends were good.
Awesome. What'd y'all do?
Well, first of all, it was a real nigga holiday this weekend.
Shout out to 420. Okay.
I forgot.
Ain't no shame in my game this week, baby. Listen, we had us a good time on Friday night.
Amazing.
What did y'all do?
I'll tell you how high
did you go?
We slept in heavenly peace. I tell you that. I slept like a baby. I'll never forget, my cousin had a kid, and my aunt, who was her mother, she told her, "You are about to have the best sleep of your life," after she gave birth. Because I guess, like, after you have a baby, like, that sleep is, like, clutch.
I can imagine. Yeah.
So, but fuck all that. Friday night, 4:20, I'm telling you, I had the best sleep I ever had in my life. And I didn't have to push nothing out of nothing. If I wanted to. But I'm telling you, I slept good. And shout out to the Reed. We went to the Reed show on 4:20.
Yay. Oh, my God.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Like, it just
too
the
good.
The stars have aligned. The Hills was alive with the Sound of Music that night, baby.
And how funny that the 4:20 set that the Reed was selling on their merch site sold out in less than a minute.
I'm telling you.
A minute.
I'm telling you.
12:01.
All I got to say is I will fight whomever tries to steal my lighter.
You got one?
I got me a lighter. I did.
I don't even smoke, but I want the ashtray.
Sold out in less than 1 minute.
I don't even got no ashtray.
I'm like, what could I use it for?
And
I don't
they
know.
Say it makes you slow. They bought them things in less than 1 minute.
Okay.
You see what I mean?
How was your weekend, Asante?
My weekend was great. I was out there with the Reed as well, you know, kicking it, doing it.
You sound like
doing
you still it, doing there.
It look, right here.
Hey, me right here. So I mean, passed you some jeans with leather on the front.
It's 420 every day where I stay at.
True that.
y'all know what time it is. But before I forget, because it is 420. shout out to everybody that showed up to the Buy Black pop-up shop.
Cute.
It was amazing.
Was
thank you
it?
To Palm Pet Wines. Everybody did well. All the shops that were out there did amazing. It was great to see everybody back. Shout out to my favorite shops. I'm going to forget everybody, but you know, the Dusty Miller was out there making them flower crowns. Yes, and she's in Harlem.
Ooh.
Last time we spoke, that's like my homegirl. So, if you know, whenever you want your flower
I'm
crown.
I'm ready. I need to go get a couple.
And when
couple.
I tell you, it was nice on Sunday too. So she was actually outside making the flower crowns.
Oh my
and then
God,
she was actually just going
it.
Around clipping some of the plants and making the stuff from the stuff around. I was like,
stop.
She's using real life art.
Oh,
it was great.
I
so Sunday
it.
Was dope. It was amazing. I want to thank everybody that came out to that. It was dope and I just had a great weekend, friend. How was your weekend? You
okay.
looking
your
lovely on
day,
today.
My weekend was good. Honestly, I've just been working, just prepping a couple campaigns that are coming up. The tour, we have our tour in Chicago, by the way, the friendzonelive.com.
Yes.
Make sure you get your tickets.
I saw a lot you with, man.
It's Saturday, May 12th. We'll be there. The next stop of the wellness tour is Vermont, so I've been prepping for that. Everything's good, though.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're looking good with that blue.
Thank you.
I saw a lot you with, man.
Okay.
I have blue from head to toe. I've been just in a blue mood.
Yes.
Dabba-dee, dude. Dabba-dee. Not mama-dee. Dabba-dee.
Oh, my God.
So you're ready to jump into this week's
yes.
recap?
Yes.
Let's ooh. Do that.
As long as I don't land on my kneecap.
So last week's episode was A Seat on the Bus.
To the
y'all know who titled that. It was a very random wild card episode with a ton of questions that Dustin had for us. And as always, you guys had a lot to say. Who stood out to you? Asante.
What? Hold on. Before, well, actually, to start off, I just read this email now. But this one comes from, well, I shouldn't say your name, I guess. I don't know if you wanted me to share
just
it. But
case.
The subject says, your podcast is blocked in China. And it
whoa.
Says, yes.
Uh-oh.
Hey, friends, I'm irritated as fuck. Did you know the friend zone is blocked in China? I know that I was tripping at first because I would only see it along with the read when I turned on my VPN. Then I realized that other podcasts such as Science Versus and How I Built This were downloading. In order for me to get the podcast, I have to first turn on my VPN, wait for it to show on my feeds, then download, while other podcasts that I subscribe to download automatically without a VPN. I wonder if I am the only one experiencing this, but that is the status of your platform over here.
Oh, shit, they blocked us because of that Sesame credit
so that
episode.
Mean, exactly. So that means if we go over there, we're going to have bad
y'all.
Credit just based off that damn episode.
Look.
Credit
I,
on
I
100.
Did
damn.
Nobody in China.
Yo,
I have supported the industry. I got so much shit to say made in China.
You.
Like, so much. I have supported China. I love China. I
love
have friends
China.
In China.
But, yo, you know what's crazy? So the government, apparently, did you guys see this on Twitter, which is where we get our news now?
Right.
They are rounding up all, like, a list that the government's going to start keeping of influencers, podcasters that talk about the government so that they can keep, you know, they can keep an eye on what's being said, mm-hmm. if there's any dissension. So just, you know.
Well, shit, damn. I'm going to say it to your face type nigga anyway. So what's up? How y'all? Welcome. Hey, you know, have
welcome
a seat.
Welcome to the friend zone.
You know what I'm saying?
Damn.
What's up? You needed to hear it anyway.
Do you think it'll change, though, how you... you know, navigate your topics or what you say, knowing that the government got you on the list.
We've always believed in Big Brother anyway.
Right.
Before the show.
Right.
We don't watch CBS. Well, I love CBS in case I want to go to work there one day. See? Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Woo! They already tell you everything y'all tweeted in the Library of Congress.
Hello. So, whether you delete it or not.
Yes. I also want to share a comment from Ashley, I believe. The subject is my take on ride sharing for kids. First thing, I hope all is well with you and your loved ones. I actually think that the ride sharing app would not only work out, but last, I'm currently 17 years old and I have an internship in another city. So the organization I'm a part of partners with another company and they provide rides for myself and the other interns. The company that I work with is just like Uber or Lyft, but it's meant specifically for children 18 and under. And they also provide a babysitting service. The rides are a lot more expensive than Uber or Lyft, but all the drivers have to go through a more difficult interview process. I do agree with your concerns about putting your child in a car with a stranger, and I definitely wouldn't want to put my child in a car with one. But once they reach a certain age, like high school, I wouldn't mind using one of these apps. I thought that was a dope perspective. Like, when they're older, sure, fine. But, you know, younger, yeah, but not still. As,
like, little toddlers? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, you know, but like I said last week, we say that now, but times move fast.
Exactly.
Technology changes. Before you know it, you'll be doing things that you never would have imagined.
Ever-changing landscape.
And speaking of apps, one quick tip that I got from L. Davis. Shout out to LaTroy. Yeah. So he was saying that. Shane. You hear me? He was Shane.
Shane.
Shout out to Fantasia. He was saying that. You can connect your Lyft account with your Delta SkyMiles. Did you know that?
I saw that.
I had no idea.
For every dollar, you'll get, it counts as a mile.
Damn. You know what, LaTroy? Shout out to you being cheap, first of all.
Okay. And putting shout us on. That shit is amazing. Crafty. So amazing. So you have to go to deltalyft.com is the website, and then you sign up. You just have to make sure your names match, because I definitely have a fake-ass name on Lyft, so I got to call them to change it first. But shout out for that tip.
Okay.
So on SoundCloud, Felicia Commodore said, I used to drive Uber, and parents of all races used to do this. At first, I thought this was weird, but when I thought about it, When I thought about it further, it was actually safer than a cab. The parents could track my car on the app. They had my car model and make and license plate number, were able to call and text me. Sometimes parents would also have their kids call them on the phone while they rode the entire time, so they knew they were okay. I think a service like this opens the opportunities for kids from single-parent homes or parents who are forced to work crazy hours to not have them miss out on great extracurricular opportunities that their more privileged peers get to enjoy. I respect Tamar's opinion, but really think it came from a privileged place, and I really want her to stop speaking. For whoa, that just went left. That's what I get for not screaming. It was like all sweet. Woo!
And then stop speaking.
Stop speaking for black folks was the full sentence. So thank you, Felicia Commodore. And Dustin, who would you find on the Twitter street?
In the street. Okay, so we're going to be really brief this week because I have a tendency to go long-winded, but I want to move my wind that's the longest to somewhere else tonight. So first of all, I want to give a shout-out to Yo Fly Auntie.
Yes.
And those words are separated by underscores, so that tells you how to spell her name. But she said, Friendzone Pod, Asante, Dustin, friend, Spencer's is still open.
Hey.
And I recently purchased a great shirt that Hey Friend Hey might appreciate more than the plastic poop. Because remember, because they had that, like, the, you know.
Do they have it in New York?
I don't know if they have one here, but her t-shirt says Hug Dealer.
Oh, cute. Oh,
cute, right?
I want it.
Right. Secretly,
they have a website?
I think she just liked Spencer's this picture. Cute. And she wanted us to see this picture. But either way, it's like a really cute t-shirt.
That is such a cute
t-shirt. And shout out to Spencer's.
Shout out to Spencer's Gifts and More.
Even though I don't know if I would want to wear that around Harlem.
Okay.
Them dudes would be like, where?
Hey, beautiful.
You hit either way.
Right. They're
going to try to hug you or else the police going to see Dealer and be on your ass for that. So either way, you just, you damn if you do, you damn if you don't. Girls, you better take that shirt off. It's cute for the picture. Okay. Then I want to give a quick shout out to So JD, who said, in the words of Dustin, y'all parents ain't raised nor lowered y'all. They just left you. And I had forgot I said that, so that's why I wanted to give a shout out to her for reminding me, because that was a good point that I made.
You were on one last week.
Yes. And last but not least, we're going to play a short clip from our favorite Twitter account, the Beyonce Legion.
Yes.
The B-Legion, B-E-Y _ Legion, who tweeted Beyonce's choir and background vocals singing Party before hitting the stage at Coachella. This is a Friendzone Pod exclusive, y'all. Check it out.
Oh. Speak us not, tell the party.
Hey. 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 Yeah. Dang. Oh, they stepping. That was so cute.
And there's more, but you got to go to B Legion for the rest of that. That's just a little clip as an exclusive. And that's all I wanted to talk about in these streets today.
Cute. So y'all ready to jump into this week's episode?
Yeah. Yes.
So we have a very special guest. Today we have joining us Joel Caraballo, right?
Hey!
Joel is an incredible therapist.
Yes.
Can I call you that?
I mean, yeah, you can do that. You can do that. I'll take that.
Right, an incredible therapist that joined us. Was it for our second anniversary show?
Yes, it was.
New York, I believe it was last August. And he took over during the Q&A because he was such a good... He was answering everything so amazing that we literally would just turn our heads and look at him when someone would ask anything because it was like, take it away.
Come on now, huh?
Yeah. And so he did such an amazing job that he actually inspired us to try to like look for more therapists or guests that could we could have join us during the Q&A. So you totally flipped the game for us during the live shows.
Yeah.
It was that good of an element. Thanks. And we wanted to bring you on because I think, you know... When you hear shows with therapists, you always hear people asking them, like, what are 5 tips for anxiety or 5 ways that we can overcome stress? But rarely do you get to hear an episode that is, like, behind the curtains of a therapist. What is your life like when you are basically listening to people day in and day out? I want to know about your stress levels. I want to know about everything having to do with the life of a therapist, especially a Black therapist.
Yes.
But before we get into any of those questions, let's start from the very beginning.
Take it from the top.
What did you clean the couch with?
Good question.
Right? I don't know what kid grows up and is like, I want to be a therapist.
Right. Probably only ones that have therapists as parents. No, probably
that's
they don't want
to
be therapists.
Or maybe
either.
Not. Yeah. Right. So
sure.
I'm curious.
That's true. Right.
Help us, guide us into your journey into discovering, or if you even feel that this is your calling, or how did you jump into this?
Yeah, I definitely feel like it's my calling. I think for me, it was once I discovered it, was like, okay, so this is purpose. And synchronicity was happening for me. So well, there were a lot of circumstances where it was like I was applying to grad school, different programs. I missed some deadlines. There were all sorts of things happening that made it difficult. And so I ended up, you know, after undergraduate, ended up working with an organization that was a sexual assault prevention and education not-for-profit. So I would literally go into different colleges, military bases, all sorts of like venues and organizations and talk about how bystander intervention, how to help people who would experience this. But, you know, so that was to me, and I learned about my grad school while on that tour. So it was just like the things I hadn't really planned, it just sort of came together in a way that was like really amazing for me. But to go back to the very beginning, I was always a highly sensitive child. So it was, and I thought it was a liability for a really long time because I was always very intuitive. You know, I'd walk in a room and kind of feel things out, and then I would be like absorbing all this energy, right? And I would react to that. And I found myself like being really touched by people's emotions very easily. And so I had that, and I was always the kid who was asking why, but not in this like annoying kind of way that happens a lot for little babies. But I was just like, okay, but what, like, but you said this, like, where does that come from? Like, why do you think that? And so I'm sure that was annoying to my parents, but
accountability.
Right.
Mama.
I'm like 7 asking all these very deep questions. So I was always very deep. And then, so in high school, I formally got introduced to psychology through a college-level course, and the professor, the teacher, was the nuttiest person I'd ever met. And I was like, I kind of love you. And like this, it opened up a whole new world for me of like, you can be a professional, you can have your own personality, you can learn skills, and you can help people better their lives. And that was really the draw for me. So it's like this convergence of, you know, my innate sensitivity, my willingness to like be there and support people and like, but also kind of help people come to a new understanding. I was like, maybe I should do this. Before I was thinking about studying music because I've been involved with music for several years. Hey. Yeah. And so it just all kind of came together. And then I was like, okay, so psychology is the thing for me. Mm. And then from there, I was like, so therapy to me is the most practical use of that because I wanted to impact people and see an impact in front of me. And that's what led me to, yeah, to therapy.
Oh, wow. Okay, so
yeah.
I always imagine the first time you had a client, what did that feel like? So I can't imagine sitting in the
right.
room. There has to be that part of your brain that's like, oh, my God.
Did y'all, like, do a shot? Like, what was the icebreaker? You know what I mean? No. Both of y'all were nervous, man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Were you like, I don't want to fuck this person up?
Well, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of... you know, I talk with a lot of clients about imposter syndrome, but there was definitely a lot of that. Mm. Because also, I was only 1 year... I went to grad school with one gap year between undergrad and graduate school. So chances are I was going to be a lot younger than some of my clients.
Oh, shit.
Right. So I'm like baby faced and my first client was much older and I can't really tell the story. But all I can say is my real first client in our training program, I kind of got propositioned.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah. So I got a nice, like, break into
therapy.
I was like, okay, so this is...
So you did a real good job.
I mean, I did a horrible
job. The problem.
Shit. I did a little more. Woo. Okay.
Yeah, so all that was my introduction with a real-life client.
Hey.
And from there, I was like...
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
So then I was kind of good after that. I was like, okay. Oh, so there is...
Confidence.
Yeah.
Chun Li. So, okay, so when you have clients that are older than you,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure they're coming to you, and obviously we're clear that you can't talk to us about anything specific,
yeah,
but just
right.
generally, they're coming to you about divorces and... their kids, and, you know, here you are, this baby face that
mm-hmm.
hasn't been divorced, hasn't
mm-hmm.
had kids, hasn't
yep.
been married.
Yep.
Do you feel, at least at that time, you were much younger, did you feel qualified to even help them navigate these spaces that you had never actually been in? How does that work?
Yes and no. No, because I knew that I definitely didn't have, you know, maybe half the life experience that they had had.
Right.
Right. So there's definitely that question of like, can I really do this? Like, is this even appropriate for me to be doing this? But I think after a while, you rely on the expertise and the training
there
to make
go.
Up for gaps in your experience. Because
mm-hmm.
while I don't have certain life experiences, and this is true for, you know, even clients around my own age, is like we all don't have the same experiences. And so, you know, there has to be, so what I do is I rely on my training, I rely on that experience and my personal development, but I also rely on what I can find that connects my experience to their experience.
Mm.
So if I haven't had that same experience of like having a kid, for instance, then what do I have that can approximate that? And how can I identify with the feeling that's underneath that versus just the experience of having a kid?
Right, directly.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
What's the oldest client you've ever had, and what's the youngest client that you've ever had?
Oh, man.
I don't think I've ever been asked that question. Oldest was probably in their 60s.
Okay.
Youngest would be 18.
Okay.
So I've only worked with adults.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was waiting for him to be like, three.
No,
right.
I can't. No, yeah. I can't. Like, I can't do it. It's
no.
hard. No, it's so hard to, like, I don't think that I'm good about separating enough with children.
Mm.
Like, I would just, I think that would be so much more difficult for me personally, being able to, like, witness, you know, something, child going through some really terrible circumstances and
yeah.
then have to walk away.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like for me, and this is just me, but like adults obviously have a bit more agency and control over their lives, their bodies, their circumstances. And so I was like, yeah, I think this is where my boundaries are
you
and what I feel.
Therapy to deal with that. Huh?
Yeah.
That's so right? Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how you now you speak of boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever a time where a client comes in with something that you feel like a boundary come up, but you don't, like, do you tell them that? Like, maybe we wouldn't work well together? Does that ever happen? Or do you just have to jump into whatever it is that comes into your office?
There are definitely instances where I say, like, this is not going to be a good fit. Mm-hmm. And I think if it's, like, an initial consultation and someone's bringing in something that I know is, like, really difficult for me and that I can't separate, then I immediately say, like, you know, this just isn't going to be a good fit. It usually happens because people call first or, you know, email for a consultation. So it generally doesn't happen once someone's in the door. Mm. But it does happen. And I think even with, you know, ongoing or existing clients, things will happen where you're like, oh, we just like inadvertently wandered into some tricky territory because, you know, so-and-so who I know.
Mm.
Right.
Interesting.
And so then there's always boundary concerns to think about, like how to manage that. And, you know, even really simply, like I'm on social media.
That was gonna be one of my questions.
So like I'm on Twitter. And so like what happens if someone DMs me a question? Like how do I handle that? And I've thought about that. And just so, like, navigating social media, navigating all these different spaces and identities that, like, in communities I'm a part of, like, you have to be conscious of, like, well, you know, if I do run into a client somewhere, like, how do you handle it?
Right.
Like, also, New York City is a big city, but it's a smaller city.
Yes.
Right.
Right? So you run into people all the time. And
on
so, like,
three train with your clients.
Right. Like, I've literally been out with friends or some on, like, a Saturday night, and I'm like, oh, boy, they're so in, like, I think I see someone that I know, so we need to go to a different car.
I'm like, is that my therapist over there?
Right,
drinking?
Right, right.
My therapist is drinking like falling and has over. Shots with his friends over there. What is going on?
I mean, you know what? That's another amazing point, though. Do you ever feel like you have to limit your behaviors in public because of that? Because imagine, like Asante just said, going to the bar and seeing you just taking the Patron shots with your homies. Like, you have the right
to.
He's off
the clock.
You know, you're off the clock.
Personally, it would be endearing.
Right?
Right.
But, you know,
I agree.
Everything for everybody. So,
I agree.
You know.
How does that change how you navigate?
I don't know. I just try to be mindful because also just as having an identity as a professional counselor, like people, and I think I'm pretty active on social media and stuff, so people can notice me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just mindful about, like, not getting too crazy in public. And
words.
Right. You see, I'm very deliberate and careful with the words that I use.
I'm going to catch you at a Sunday brunch.
Right? We're going to catch him.
I mean, it has happened.
On a rooftop.
Summertime. I do have to be mindful about that. But, like, as Dustin said, actually, like, I always tell people, you might see me out.
Right.
And I'm going to be having a good time. So if you see me and, it like, you want to talk about it, then we'll talk about it next time. And, like, we'll figure it out if that's really uncomfortable for you or if, like, you feel like you can't see me anymore because you saw me do X, Y, and Z. I don't know. But we'll work through it. And if you can't, then, you know, maybe you should work with someone else. And that's fine. That's not personal.
You got to tell them, no me, ho. You might see me out somewhere. You know, don't mean, what is it? That's what you got to tell them sometimes. Yeah. You know?
Could you imagine your therapist?
You tell them, be like, huh, no me, ho.
Listen.
What you drinking?
Right.
Would you like one?
Okay.
Okay, then. No me, goddamn it.
I'm not going to lie. If I was out and somebody was like, somebody sent you a drink, and I'm like, who is this from? I look over my therapist and say,
hey, it's over there, Millie Rock.
Look.
Does that, the hand in the air like, yeah.
You know I'm ghetto. You know I'm going to just be like, you know.
Okay. I would start crying. I'd be like, oh my God, you're so real.
Because,
right?
You know, once you have like a certain like camaraderie with certain people at certain levels too, it's like, oh my God, like me and
it's
my
like
mentor.
You really
like,
understand at that point. Like, you really, like, then when I share things with you, I would know you really you really understand.
Mm-hmm.
Therapy for how we live today.
That's so okay. So
yeah,
you're at the club. No, I'm kidding.
Oh no.
I'm like, so someone, you see a client and they come up to you and start trying to have conversations, like follow ups of their sessions. Has that ever happened?
That has never happened.
Yeah, right,
and it should not.
Yeah,
you know, for
like, not, if listening. You're drunk and going through something, that's, you see your therapist, you be like, dude, we ain't finished from last week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I would just really just try and like, well, I would try and soothe them in the moment.
Right,
and be like, okay, yeah, like I'm not gonna be rude to someone because obviously, like, we've built a relationship to some degree, so I care about them. So I manage it.
Just hold up your watch and be like, brother, off the clock. Boundaries, off the clock. So I said,
give him the hand jerk.
No.
What we ain't gonna do. Shit.
No, I just like briefly kind of tell them, like, not the time and the place. Hopefully they understand.
Right.
And then I would have to leave. Yeah.
I'm just imagining bumping into my dad at the club.
Yeah, like it just, I also couldn't, for me, like I couldn't then just go back to whatever I was doing. I'd be like, okay, like this is now, like now I'm just thinking about this person.
Because
like,
you would already know what it was about. I
probably have some saying? Kind of idea,
you'd be
right?
Like, see, girl, here you go with that bullshit. I just told you Tuesday.
Oh, not Tuesday.
Linda.
Oh, God.
I just told you Tuesday, girl.
Now, does a therapist ever turn off? Do you find yourself psychoanalyzing everything all day long? Your friends, who you're dating, your parents? Like, how can a therapist turn off?
Well, I always say that, like, once you become a therapist, you'll always be a therapist.
So don't date a therapist. You're selling.
Oh, come on. Right.
Look,
date
a therapist. It's brand.
He's like, saying it without saying
it. No.
Why you moan like that?
Where does that
codes.
Come from?
You see these codes?
No, like, I...
All right, well, I'll redirect. Like, you know, you at Burger King, and then the dude is just being real nasty. And you like, bro, I'm just trying to give me a burger right now. You start psychoanalyzing them to get your order done
this
a little
bit quicker.
This
is why you acting this way. Your mother, right. When you were little.
Who hurt you?
I got a question.
Oh, God. Here we go. I think that is one of the biggest challenges of being a therapist. Because, like, basically you get... I mean, if you do it right and you work on yourself, you learn a lot of stuff about people and yourself. And so it's hard to not see things, see patterns, see behaviors, and think like, I wonder why, like, they're doing that, right? But I think as I've gotten older, I'll speak for myself, as I've gotten older and more, you know, seasoned, I guess, and I'm not that seasoned, but I think it becomes easier to separate and say like, okay, like, actually, it doesn't matter. Because, like, if I'm in a relationship with someone, like a romantic relationship with someone, I'm not analyzing you. Like, I don't want to do that work. Like, I just want to be with you.
Oh, that's
right?
That's a good...
You know, and I'm going to, like, if there's something that comes up, I'll be like, look, we got to talk about X thing. But, you know, I don't want to do that work when I'm not working. You know, so I also just want to be a person, too. And so, because it takes a lot of emotional energy to, like, always be thinking about, well, what's underneath that? What does that mean? And, like, where does that come from? And, like, but this behavior is, like, doesn't go with that. Like, all of that is a lot.
Of
so,
course.
Right? And so being able to separate is actually a necessary self-care tool. Yeah.
Is that something you develop now that you're older? When you were a younger therapist, did you find yourself trying to fix everyone you dated?
Terrible.
Like, this is why you're talking to me like this.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah. So
you can tell somebody yo mama and really mean it.
Right?
Like, yo mama.
Yeah. Because you already know. Okay. I already know.
Okay.
Right.
That's where it all came from.
Right.
Ooh, I never thought about that.
It was harder earlier, for sure. But I've gotten better at it. I think it just takes experience and practice.
Right.
For sure.
Knowing how to separate. What about with your parents?
Yeah, that's...
Because imagine your child being a therapist. I'd be like, leave me alone.
Okay. Like, don't call anymore.
Get your mama together. Get your mama too together.
How does that work?
First of all, okay.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah, it is interesting. But I think also what's really cool is that as I've also gotten older, like, those relationships have changed. Mm. You know, you go from, like, this... authority figure, like child relationship to more akin to friends in some degree, right? And so that sort of happened at the same time I was becoming a therapist. So like those relationships are already changing for me. I think my policy is, and I guess it's kind of true with all relationships because I am a therapist, is that, so I hold back on giving advice.
Okay.
Like I'm like, so if you know, people know what I do, right?
Right.
If you're talking to me about, you know, said boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever situation is happening, you probably already know a little bit of what I'm thinking.
Right.
So I'm going to ask before I dive in. I'm like, do you want my opinion on this? If you don't, that's fine.
Do you want my professional,
right,
licensed,
right? Or do you want me to be your friend? Because those are probably not the same thing most of the time.
Oh,
too.
Cool.
Is that kind of how you set the boundary for people when they want to come around and be like, oh, so you know I'm having an issue right now. And you just got to be, all right, now.
Yes.
Now that you didn't, now I can actually tell you. Or like, is that what you
got? Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm like, so what are you really asking? What do you want from me?
That's so interesting. Because if I had a friend that was a therapist, I can't say that I wouldn't be trying to pick their brain all the time.
Right.
That's true.
Like you can't help
right,
it.
Right. Like if you have a friend who's a doctor, you're going to be like, hey, like this thing popped up on my leg. Mm-hmm. Right. Or like I got this pain. Like what should I do?
That's your personal WebMD right there.
Hello.
Right.
You know, we got your personal Google.
Yeah.
So your friends don't ever abuse that privilege of being close to you?
No. Well, ironically, most of my closest friends are also therapists.
Oh!
Baby!
How cool!
So what a round table.
Right. So it's really great because we understand each other, but sometimes conversations get a little heady because we're like, oh, but you're doing that, and it's because...
No. Oh, Lord.
I would love to see y'all play Uno.
Would that be funny? Oh, my God.
Y'all play Uno
you have
or
no
spades.
Idea.
Or spades.
You have no idea.
A bunch of therapists playing, a bunch of right. black therapists playing spades.
You have no right. idea.
Man.
Trouble.
Oh my God.
There was a trouble game that came with some like analyzing that had to happen. Oh. That's all I'm saying. Not for me.
But, now, you know. I know that, especially you mentioned being, you know, let's say in a round table with your friends who are also mm-hmm. therapists. Yes, there's theory.
Yeah.
You guys worked on studying different books and science and every aspect of psychology.
Mm-hmm.
But what about your personal feelings on things? You know what I mean? Like your intuitive life experience feelings. Does it ever go against the science? Does it ever go against the theory? Do you
literally
ever
literally was about to ask the exact
really?
Same, the exact
right. Like, do you ever find yourself conflicted? Like, okay, this is what this is saying I should do in this situation, but my heart says otherwise. Like a conflict of mind and heart, or studies and heart.
Yeah,
I
yeah. Yes, sometimes. It's often not that dramatic, though, because, and this is the thing I love about therapy, is that it's very creative. And so, you know, my approach, like, I get to fashion my approach to something. There is evidence in theory that backs up certain, I don't know, ways of dealing with something or certain interventions, but I'm also the tool. Right. I'm implementing the thing. So that by nature of that is going to change how that happens. I mean, I think there's a lot of space for creativity. So I rarely feel that real tug when I'm sitting with someone about like, oh, like theory says this or, you know, research says this, but I need to do this. Only I think there are some strict bottom lines that like, are just common sense too that like I have to hold to. Other than that, there's a lot of room to kind of like, oh, like theory says this, but I'm always thinking about, but how does this work? How do I make this work for this person? Like not even just like what I think, but like, oh, I kind of already know like this part of this isn't going to be accessible for you because you have this stuff. So we need to tweak it. So let's tweak it for you.
Right.
Right. So there's also that. But yeah, like rarely do I feel like my, intuitive sense runs that like apart from
this research.
Yeah, from the research. And
what about in like your personal life?
Yeah,
like, you have personal challenges, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or like personal conflicts?
Oh yeah,
you
I know where
oh,
we're
yeah.
going.
But like where you have a natural inclination to feel one way? Do you police your own thoughts?
Nope.
Or do you just feel?
Nope. I feel.
So you're not your own therapist.
Nope.
Okay.
Well,
amazing.
With the exception So this, I'm really like outing myself here. I was terribly afraid. I'm terribly afraid of birds, or was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's analyze.
No. So this is like one situation in which I did therapize myself because it also wasn't that serious. And I was like, okay, it's fine. But when I moved to New York City, I was like, oh, man.
Oh, yeah, you got to confront
pigeons
that.
Everywhere.
All the time.
So I found
real ones and figurative.
Oh, no.
Everywhere.
Oh, I don't want no pigeons.
Oh, no. Wow.
Tracy Braxton said, everywhere. Dominic told the TMZ, everything.
So I like worked myself through that, which was not really a phobia, but like I was like, oh, this is unnerving to me. So yeah. I have to learn how to deal.
A wobia.
So, a wobia.
Whoa.
A little bit, yeah. So that's gotten better. So yeah, but I think generally, no, I'm a feeler by nature. Mm-hmm. So if it's personal, again, like if I'm not doing work, I don't want to do work. I'm just feeling my way just like everybody else is.
You just broke ground for a lot of people because most people feel very, very cautious about dating or being in a relationship with therapists, Fran was just mentioning. Huh. I've never, ever heard any, like, you know, mental health professional like yourself speak about that, so I'm really glad you cleared that up.
Oh, that's good.
It is, I'm sure, it's a reprieve of some sort for you to be able to, like, relax and just chill, you know, especially after Netflix. I'm sure you don't want to be, you know, you don't want to be a therapist during, you know, those.
No.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Are you binge watching, you know?
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, being in session with a therapist?
Oh, no.
Wow. You know, it just doesn't work.
Oh, my God. What is that?
So none of that.
Yeah.
None of that.
I just appreciate that clarity.
But do you ever battle feelings of perfectionism, though? Because everyone around you, even though you said a lot of your friends are therapists, but obviously not everyone around you is.
Right.
Do you ever feel this pressure like, I have to have my shit together? Because you're a resume. You're literally a walking resume of everything you've learned, of your practice. Yes. You know, so if someone sees you like drunk at the club crying over a breakup, they're going to be like, bruh.
He got some work.
You're literally the last person anyone would expect to be having challenges, strange enough, because we almost assume that you would be able to fix it.
Right.
So how does that ever, is that ever something that comes up where you're like, I can fix everything that I'm going through?
I think to some extent, there's like a separation between, I often say this to a lot of my clients, is like knowing and knowing. Right? So you can know things like in your head and they can be logical. You know what to do. You know what you're supposed to happen, quote unquote. But then there's also a different kind of knowing, which is just feeling.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, there, but for most life problems, we generally know what's supposed to happen.
Right.
The difficulty is really in like making it happen most of the time, because then we have hangups, we have baggage, we have whatever. I don't know.
Because I always, could you imagine being a therapist? I feel like I would be stressed. Like I have to be perfect all the time.
Right. And just
and how you're being perceived. Mm. You know, that seems like a lot of pressure, but I mean, you're saying no.
But that's what I liked about the first person who exposed me to psychology was that she was like a nut. Like she was like literally like the nuttiest person I've ever met in my life. And I was like, I like that.
Right.
Because she could be herself. And so like I'm very much myself with my clients too.
Mm.
Right? They walk in, like some have walked in and said like, oh, you look tired today. I was like, yep, didn't sleep last night. But like I'm here and I'm with you now.
That probably makes them feel more comfortable.
It's
too.
Real though.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like, But that's me.
Right. So. And I guess there is a humanness that we forget when seeing, like, you are an actual person with a schedule and things going on. Now, one of the challenges that I see that always comes up when people, especially people of color, are looking for therapists is that personality aspect because there are cultural barriers, you know, class, race, all these different factors tie into how what you share will be understood or perceived or received. I know my mom, I was telling you earlier, she wanted to be in, you know, in therapy regularly. It was something that she made an effort to do. And then the one that she found, she just felt really defensive with her because she felt like the lady just didn't understand her. And she said that she even felt like the lady was a little judgmental with what she was telling her. Ouch. And what she was, how she was explaining, she processed different situations. She felt like the therapist was kind of like, ooh, girl. You know what I mean?
Wow, that's not cool.
And you don't want to feel that, because if there's anywhere where you can admit to your, you know, shortcomings or faults or however you perceive yourself, it's there in that office. So I noticed with people of color, it's hard to find, number one, a black therapist. And then it's hard to find one that you can relate to, whether it's a woman or a man, you know. So what advice do you have for those? Like, how do you do that? Because it seems like you just have to go through a Rolodex of therapists to find the right one. Kind of like dating.
Yeah, I often describe it as being similar to dating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know if there's a Tinder for finding a therapist, but someone should probably get on that. Yeah, I mean, I always say to people, it depends on... most people, research actually points to that most people want to be matched on gender, like across all races, which is really interesting to me. But that for Black Americans in particular, generally race is more important than gender. So that's really interesting, and hopefully I'm not bastardizing the research. But, you know, so I always say to people, I think you should be open and flexible depending on what your needs are, right? So if... Because there are a lot of competent therapists out there who have experience and have knowledge and work really hard to be good therapists to a wide range of people. At the same time, like being able to be matched, whether it be on like race or gender or like sexuality or some other kind of identity, is really a shortcut, right? Like that's, at the end of the day, that's really what it is, because you're going to be able to, that person's going to understand a nuance that maybe the person that doesn't hold that identity can't.
Right.
Right? And for some people, that's super important. Right. But it's not for everyone. I think it really depends on what you're bringing to the table. If you want to be able to talk about what it means to walk in the world as a person of color, for instance, like
on beat.
Right.
That's what it means. You walk on the beat.
Right. I'm going to say, like, you're probably going to need to work with a therapist of color. Because there's going to be nuance there that is going to be communicated. Like, I have talked with clients before about experiences of walking the world as a man of color. And, like, so in my being able to share that, I know is invaluable in that space, because so much of the world tells you that, you know, you shouldn't really think about it, or you shouldn't let it get to you, or you need to move on. And like, no, that's not how this works. And so, yeah, I think it really depends. I think if that's your inclination, I say go for it. It's hard. You may have to look a little bit more.
Right.
But there are some good resources out there. Like if you look at like the, you know, there's an Association of Black Psychologists. You can Google them. There are other directories, like Therapy for Black Girls is a good directory,
hey,
right?
Dr.
Joy. So there are like these little pockets where people are trying to get better about saying like, oh, we have this,
there'd
like
be black.
But it's still very hard, for sure.
Yeah, because then even outside of race, I know another thing, a factor I would focus on too is class. Because you can find someone who's black, but... what if they didn't they don't understand like poverty, you know, or a lot of the programming that we're trying to break from under, if they didn't even experience it, the race is, you know, just one factor.
Right.
You ain't finna be sitting up here judging me, got me telling all my goddamn business about my family and stuff, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, sitting up here judging me.
And they just like, don't get it, you know?
Well, and but that's the thing, is that like any, a good therapist should be able to get it.
Yes.
Regardless.
If they can't get it and they're still trying to work with you, then they're the problem. Because that's when the therapist needs to step aside and say, like, actually, this is out of my competency. Like, I can't do this, so I need to step away for whatever reason. You can't do it. But, like, you should never walk out of a therapy session and feel, like, berated or, like, judged.
Or worse. Yeah.
Like that should not happen. I think if it's in the questionable territory, you know, because sometimes it is, like someone like tells you about yourself, you're like, oh man, like I didn't realize that. Then come back and bring that up and say, like, this is how I walked away feeling. like, and I was kind of like iffy about it. Can we like talk about why you said that, or like what made you think that about me? Why'd you share that? And that could be incredibly helpful to someone's process. Mm. So
can I switch gears a little bit here? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just in line with what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. So what if someone is almost like, where do they draw the line between tough love and therapy? And like, you know, what if, you know, you're saying, oh, you know, this therapist might be judgmental, or what if you are like a self-apologist maybe, and you're like, oh, my therapist, they tell me something and it's really changing the way I look at myself, and you're kind of like taking on some of what they may be giving you, and it might not even be what you're actually going through.
That's a tough question. I don't know. Like, the line is individual for every person. Like, right. That line of, like, what is judgmental or not. And, like, to be honest, there's a lot of what we react to may or may not be a part of the treatment. So if someone's saying something, sometimes we say things that are provocative, mm-hmm. because we know it will elicit something that needs to be dealt with. And sometimes that can be dealt with in the confines of that relationship. Mm. But
that's a read right there. That was a straight up read.
No, but like I think if you don't understand, no, but if you don't, I say to clients, like, if you don't understand why something is happening, I want you to tell me, because you're not supposed to walk out of here feeling like worse, like, first and foremost.
Right.
Because, like, we're not supposed to be harming people. So there, you should not be introducing new trauma in a therapy space. You're supposed to be working through old trauma.
Right.
And old hurts. And so if you're feeling, like, abused, or, like, you're like, man, like, this person is really, like, every time I walk out, I'm feeling worse about myself. Like, that's a gut check moment to say, like, all right, something needs to happen, because this is not okay.
I say that because I feel like a lot of people, when they think about therapy, sometimes they think like they're going to go in and like it's going to like hurt more than when they come out. They're like, oh, you know, I don't want to get no therapist, and then be crying every week and doing all that and leaving.
Unearthing a lot of old shit.
Right. So then they think it's going to be like a heavier week, as opposed to it being like, you know, a release, you know.
Well, it's often both.
See?
Yeah. So it's tough where that line is for everyone. Like, again, I always say, like, if your therapist isn't outright doing, like, if they're calling you names, obviously.
Whoa.
Right?
Can you imagine?
Like, there are certain lines you should never. Well, I know. I'm looking at Dustin like, I already know.
Can you imagine getting cussed out?
Your therapist being like, you dumb bitch.
Bitch, what the fuck is wrong with you?
That should never, ever happen.
Your ass in here.
Let's switch it all the way up then.
Ayama.
What did I do?
Oh, my watch.
What about Ayama?
Her style of therapy.
Her style.
Or rather, would you call that therapy?
No. Unequivocally, no.
Spicy. What is
I don't know.
Spicy on the bird.
I actually...
Pop my butt.
Stop.
So I should also say that I don't watch Fix My Life.
Okay.
So I'm just going to put that out there. But, yes. And that is intentional. So I don't know really, except for memes, I don't really know what's been happening.
Yes.
Right. So it's not therapy. I do think that's not to say there isn't value in what she does. Mm. I think my problem with it as a representation of like mental health treatment is that it's not that. Mm-hmm. And so the lines get blurred, and so some people think that like that is therapy, and they're like, oh, like
that's
that's why I'm not going, or if I go to therapy, this is what I want. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no, that's not how this works.
That's just her work.
That's her and I don't believe she is a licensed therapist, so I'm not 100% sure, don't quote me, but check it.
What about the people on Marriage Boot Camp? I can't
So they are, I think there are some licensed psychologists and people there.
Okay, what about Laura?
You're going to give me every show?
Yes.
What about Dr. Dang. Sherry? She don't ever fix
Phil.
Nothing.
Wait, who's Dr. Sherry?
The black lady that's always on all the shows when they go to see a therapist with the short curly hair. She's always on the Braxton.
Yes.
She's always on all the Wee TV shows. Always on Love and Hip Hop.
Yes.
She's a therapist she might always go to.
I think she might be an Imagine Family therapist, actually.
All right, we're going on Dr. Sherry.
Go what about Dr. Jeff?
Oh, the one with the little one with the glasses. Yeah. You know, I saw him on the train the other day.
Did you really?
And all these little girls sitting across from him started screaming. They were like, oh, my God. And he was like, what? Like
They
asked if they could take selfies. You could tell he was so like, this is just a lot.
Yeah.
You find out Dr. Jeff got groupies.
He does.
He is. He's a psychologist. He's a licensed psychologist. Mm. Yeah. So the difference. So I say Yanla is not therapy because therapy is an ongoing process. It's a relationship.
Yeah.
It's not one treatment or one like scare tactic or
one TV episode.
Or one TV episode. Absolutely not.
What about one season like Marriage Boot Camp?
Rise up! Rise up! Yeah.
Oh my God.
She is so crazy.
Look, I mean, look at Obama. You see why?
Yeah.
Does it make that's you a lot. Cringe to watch like people discussing it on social media or even the fact that it's a thing?
Yeah. I'm not.
Douchey fix lives.
Not douchey.
That's what you want to know. Bottom line, douchey fix lives.
I mean, I'd say the proof is in the pudding, right? Ooh. So check with these people after the fact.
So he's where are they at? Check that pudding.
That's all I can say about that. Mm-hmm. But
where's DMX?
Right, where's DMX?
Where's Neffy? Keisha Cole's sister.
Neffy is a nasty bitch.
The gutter snipe. How did you feel about that? Do you know about that?
No.
She called Keisha Cole's sister Nefertiti a gutter snipe during sex.
Neffy's
the gutter snipe.
That's disgusting.
A gutter snipe.
That's disgusting.
I didn't even know that was.
Well, right. There's
not
that.
Even what it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, I had to look
that
it up.
That it was.
But you think that it's dangerous? Right. It's dangerous what she does? What makes it dangerous?
Well, I think it's dangerous one, potentially dangerous because it, again, gives people this impression that that is therapy, which is not. And listen, therapy has a hard enough time selling itself. We don't need help from anyone to muddy the waters even more.
Right.
And she's also said, I should also say, that she has also said that she is a life coach and not a therapist. Right.
Like Laura, the life coach from Bad Girls Club. So, she was a life coach.
So there are completely different standards for that, and so I'm not going to get into that. But I think it's potentially dangerous, like to my point earlier about, you know, if, like, the process of therapy should not introduce new traumas.
Right.
So, like, I have potential concerns that some of the things that are happening on shows like that are, like, creating new problems.
Because there's a thin line between
because it is,
entertainment.
Right. Because it is also entertainment. And so, like, I don't know. I have concerns about it. Do I cringe? Yes. I also tend to avoid, to be honest.
Right.
Like, I tend to not watch it because anything that involves, like, what I do day in, day out, I'm already looking, like, I start watching it and I'm like, I'm seeing it in a whole different way. I went to see a movie recently that, like, prominently featured a therapist and client relationship. Within the first 10 minutes, the therapist flubbed a, like, mental health law out the gate. And I was like, okay, I can't, like, this, I'm out. Like, I can't enjoy this. So,
have you seen Gypsy on Netflix?
Yes.
Oh, have you guys? Why are you laughing?
I thought that question was gonna go another direction. Okay. Anyway, Gypsy on Netflix.
Have y'all seen it? It's
no.
About a therapist.
Oh yes,
who literally like
is that the one with Naomi Watts?
Yes, Naomi Watts.
Yes, I have seen
it
some of
blew
that.
My mind. She manipulates her clients. Like it's
she
fun
does.
For her. Like
yes.
She like will find whoever, let's say you go in and you're talking to her about your partner that you're having trouble with, she'll go find that partner and then get them to become a client and kind of start fucking with both of y'all just on some fun shit, like telling you one thing, telling him, like it's just fun for her.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like,
I've seen
how does that feel?
Every episode. I've watched it.
And it didn't get renewed for a season
it
two.
Did not.
I actually thought it was a good
Which,
show. It
that's,
was interesting.
See, I have complicated feelings about it because as a show, it's amazing.
Right.
Because it's so well done. But if I'm looking at it as like, oh, is this a representation of therapy and like a therapist? I'm like, oh my God. Like, so anyone within the range of the sound of my voice, if any similar kind of shenanigans happen or you catch wind of, please run. Report them to the state board. Like, that is not supposed to happen.
And
none
HBO
of that.
HBO had a show too called Therapist.
In treatment. Which I actually never saw. But I heard it was also terrible in that respect.
Really?
Because it was like so messy.
Or on How to Get Away with Murder.
I was thinking about that.
Viola's therapist, how he horrible, was like horrible. Triggered.
No, no. Every week I was like, please don't. No, no, yeah. No, 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 no.
They kept
like turning it. Oh my God.
Really, just so digging bad. That knife right on in right. For therapy now. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
First the wife and then the wife. Sorry, right. You know,
it was
wife.
So never bad. Mind. So just bad. I don't think I've seen a good representation of therapy.
Yikes.
On screen.
Well.
Or fair representation.
That means that there's an opportunity there right. For somebody to do that.
Hello, Viceland.
And they can do it with a black person, too.
Right. I mean, I'm just saying. That would be
they
amazing.
Have a show, actually, on Viceland with a therapist. That he works with rappers.
Oh, celebrities. Like celebrities. He did Waka Flocka and all
yes.
That.
Oh,
really? I haven't seen
he
that.
He had OT Genesis. Yeah.
Did he push it?
He had Prodigy. And a lot of... And it's actually really interesting because especially the toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Especially within the music industry yeah. With rappers, to have them sit and talk about their feelings openly and yeah. Their childhoods and their traumas and their insecurities and fears.
That's
and
major.
It's yeah, amazing.
That's incredible.
But have you seen it?
No.
You have to
I didn't
catch
even know it,
it
existed.
Yeah, I have to look it up.
I can't remember the name of it either, but it right. Was good.
Right. Well, you're looking it up?
Yeah. Okay. I will say that there's
while he looks
there's
it up,
one
I want
show.
You to catch it just because I'm curious to see what
yeah,
you think.
Yeah, for sure. There's yeah. There was one show that I mean, maybe there's more than one, but there was one show that I really liked that was actually, I think it was VH1, which was Sex Therapy with Dr. Chris.
Oh, Dr. Joy is who I was thinking about.
No.
Or, no, I'm thinking about Sex with Sue. Never mind.
Oh, yeah.
The old lady.
The old lady?
Ruth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Ruth.
Dr. Ruth.
Yeah, yeah. She's amazing. She's on Twitter. Do you know that?
She is.
She's alive?
And she got some good ones, too.
Twitter after dark?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I love her. It's amazing. Dr. Ruth is amazing.
The show's called The Therapist, by the way.
The Therapist.
Okay.
That you gotta check it out.
I'll definitely check that out. But yeah, Sex Therapy was on with Dr. Chris Donahue, who's a sexologist.
Mm.
And like he also has a great book that I always recommend to people. But that was a good representation. But it was also still a show. So there's you only
that
saw
line.
So much of actual therapy that was happening because right. Then it was like, you know, it was kind of a docu so kind of series.
Oh, yeah.
So they were showing people's lives a little bit too. Yeah.
He the fine white doctor.
With the tattoos and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. He's cool. He's cool people.
A hotel is nice, but a vacation rental? There's nothing like that home away from home. And with today's sponsor, Tripping.com, finding the perfect vacation rental is almost too easy. One search on Tripping.com lets you compare every home from the world's top vacation rental sites in one place to find the best deal in your perfect vacation rental. Vacation rentals offer more. More privacy, more space for everyone under one roof, and more choices with fully stocked kitchens, extra bedrooms, and even hot tubs. All the comforts of home, and then some. Best of all, you can join the millions of travelers who find more savings, with rates of up to 80% less than traditional hotel rooms. This year, save time and money when you head to Booking, the vacation home of your dreams, with tripping.com/friendzone. That's tripping.com/friendzone. Find your perfect vacation rental today at tripping.com/friendzone. Don't trip.
Who are people like shows or books or even online personalities that are therapists that you would recommend or podcasts? Like, have there been any resources that you feel, in your opinion, are valuable and actually helpful as opposed to just entertaining? Or
podcasts.
They could be both. Right?
I mean, this one's pretty good.
Hey!
Now you know we ain't no damn therapist.
No, right. But I do need to say that I think that I'm very glad to be here because I think that what you all do is really amazing and special for the people who listen to the show.
Thank you.
Because what you do is you create a space for people to talk about things that are relevant to them, mm-hmm. and that also help them talk about mental health in a way that is not this stodgy, rigid, old, inaccessible experience.
Right.
And
so,
right.
You know, like that's so I'm very glad to be here and thank you very much.
Oh, thank
so,
you.
Thank you.
So happy you decided to join us again. That you didn't say, all right,
and give us
that show,
cred.
Right. Right.
All day. That's a hard question. So on the topic of, I don't get to listen to a lot of podcasts, I should say that. One that I used to listen to regularly was Loveline is back as a podcast.
Shoot. Wow. Mm. Yes. I remember that from
okay.
back in the day.
So it's Dr. Chris with Amber Rose.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
It's a podcast.
Okay, I'm going to check that out, actually.
So with like sex and relationship centered stuff, I really enjoy that one.
Cool.
Go Amber.
For, I don't know, like for mental health, I don't. There are a lot out there, but nothing's coming to me at
or
the moment.
Blogs or even YouTube channels, maybe shows, anything. Or
music
even books.
Videos.
Music videos. Maybe the book that you've read.
Huh. Oh, so a couple of books. I definitely think there is a book by one of the kind of like living legends of psychology, Irv Yalom, called The Gift of Therapy. Mm. It's like a really cool narrative kind of experience of him working with clients. So it's cool. And it's not like a textbook. It's a book.
Not dense.
Yeah, it's not dense. It's just a book. So that's a really good one. Dr. Chris's book, Sex Outside the Lines, is amazing.
What are they talking about in that one?
Dustin, why you cross your feet like that?
It's all about embracing. There are no pictures, sadly.
This okay, is the, well, sorry. Chris Donahue one.
This is not Taxi Cab Confessions.
I'm just telling you.
Did you read it?
I have not read it, but I'm going to go get it because Chris Donahue is, if he put pictures in that book,
cool.
He's like a good looking guy.
He
I'm
just telling you.
I love the tattoos.
He's going to love that we're talking about
him. Is he? Do you know him?
I met him. He's cool people.
Well, you know.
He looks like he's some kin to Adam Levine.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Distant cousins.
Adam Ravine.
Oh no,
Levine and Ravine, like a creep.
Yeah. So that's a really. It actually talks about like embracing a wider spectrum of sexuality and like getting more comfortable with yourself and how you view it, no matter what that is.
What's it called?
Sex outside the lines.
Authentic ordering sexuality in a sexually dysfunctional culture.
Yes. Ooh, so ordering
good. So good.
So light a candle.
So on the show with with Viola and the show on HBO In Treatment, I didn't see it so much in the Gypsy show, but therapists always have a therapist. Or at least someone that they can kind of consult with. Yeah. Maybe there are aspects of a treatment they're putting together they need some help with. Do you have a therapist or someone that you look for guidance to?
I don't currently have a therapist. Mm-hmm. I have worked with a therapist before.
So interesting.
I think there's a difference between sort of like personal therapy and peer consultation or supervision or consultation with someone who's more experienced,
right.
Which I do all the time. Mm. I have peers and colleagues and people who are more experienced in certain things that I will like routinely reach out to and say, like, listen, I'm working with this kind of issue. Like, do you have any recommendations of like things I should be looking at? Because, you know, we tend to specialize. Sometimes you get sort of like, just by nature of people who come to you, you get focused into like a couple of areas. And so you lose some of the other things that you were exposed to early on in your career. And other people have much more experience with that. So it's always good to, like, therapists often have like a peer consultation, either a group or an individual or other people that they also check in with to say, like, sometimes it's like, is this treatment right? And sometimes it's like, am I tripping? Like, do I need to like redirect? Like, is this me? Or it's like, yeah. So that happens a lot.
Mm.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Just in the case, I love saying this. Dialing back to, earlier.
Yeah.
When you said that sometimes you do have to tell a client, you know, it's just not the best fit.
Right. Yeah.
What is the next step then? Like, do you offer some sort of referral or do you just tell them hit it? You know what I mean? Like, what is it?
The door is that way? No.
Like, girl, I ain't got nothing for you at the end of the day, so sorry.
No.
This ain't what you want.
Hope it works out. Hope everything works out.
No, I always, listen, it's not personal to me.
Right.
That's And that's the point, is that if it's not a fit, it's not a fit. That's like not, an attack on me or the client or whoever. So I always give people recommendations. I'll say, like, listen, this is who I think would be to work best with you because of X, Y, and Z. like, I can connect you with them. Or, and some people, sometimes people are like, no, like, I want to find my, I want to go back to the drawing board and do that. Then they're more than happy to. I always give people at least a couple of resources to say, I think you should try here. Because that's actually an ethical duty of mine.
Okay.
Right? Because I don't want, if you're going through something and, like, for whatever reason, it's not a good match, like, you still need support.
Right.
So why would I just leave you out in these streets? Like, that's not okay.
Stevie Wonder got a song where he says, I wouldn't do that to a dog.
There you go.
So I think that's applicable in this case. Jesus. Yeah. I think that's Rocket Love. That's Rocket Love by Stevie Wonder. Like, I wouldn't do that to a dog.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, we discussed you being human. Mm-hmm. How do you take these stories day in and day out without your own stress levels mm-hmm. being heightened? You know what I mean? Because I'm sure you hear some intense mm-hmm. childhood stories or things that have happened to people.
Sure.
How do you take that all in? What's your process?
Well, it first I would say it definitely does affect you.
Right.
Right? You can't not be affected because, I mean, if you're doing it right. And if you're going into it as a therapist with an open heart, that it does impact you to hear that. But I think every therapist has to find their own path to, like, for me, like, self-care is super important to me for that reason, is because I know I take on a lot and, like, I would not want to do anything else. Mm-hmm. So that, like, that's me, but it still comes with this extra, stuff that I'm carrying with me, like, every day. And so whether that is, like, me listening to music, me journaling, me, you know, catching up with a colleague, venting, creating something, these different experiences like that I like to do, like all of that stuff helps me decompress and, like we talked about earlier, kind of separate, you know, my stuff from this, you know, my client stuff.
Right.
But there's always a little, at least for me, there's always a little part that, like, there are several times I'm just walking throughout my day and I think of so-and-so. I see something, I'm like, oh, like, I wonder how so-and-so is doing. Or, like, that happens all the time. So, like, there's no, like, complete separation, but I think it's kind of like turning the volume down, and that's how you kind of play with it. Where you're, when you're at work, when you're working with people in session, the volume's turned up, you know, and you try to turn it down when you're not. And I think, you know, everyone has their own individual ways of doing that. You know, whether that's exercising or, you know, I like cooking and like baking. So, like, the process of that is good. Like, I like doing things, for me, is sometimes really good mm-hmm. because it helps me get more in my body.
Right.
It helps me sort of settle into my body instead of get out of my head because mm-hmm. I'm always there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think all that stuff is good.
So you've never, like, cried during a session?
I've definitely cried during a session.
Really?
Yeah. Like, not bawling, but I've cried.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Tears have come down my face in a session before.
Have you ever seen?
Friend looking like, I'm going.
No, I'm just like, can you imagine? Sometimes, your therapist starts crying, you're like comforting them.
Well, and that's like, right, that's kind of like the line. It's you, like, the, it's only happened maybe like a, maybe once or twice.
Oh.
But, it's,
I want to be a therapist.
Right. It's happened. Well, sometimes something like, if someone in front of you, again, I'm a really sensitive person, right? Mm-hmm. So someone in front of me is like just is reliving something and they're emoting. And it maybe depends on the day. It depends on, like, you know, how much sleep I got, that, whatever. There's all those factors for me. But yeah, there, sometimes that just happens and that's okay. That's not necessarily wrong. Some therapists will say it's wrong. But I've never been sort of in distress and needed a client to comfort me. Like, that's not okay. Right? I can't be bawling because, like, if I'm not managing the situation.
Right.
Like,
curled up on the damn floor.
Right. Like, that's not okay. But, yeah, like, I've definitely, like, sat with a client and, like, at a point we were both sort of crying because it was just, like, that powerful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I guess you always think of a therapist as this sort of, like, robotic, kind of, you know, kind of cold, almost like a doctor, where, you know, you can come in with the craziest of ailments, but, and they're just sort of like, yeah, you're going to die, like, in 5 days, you know, and it's just this, like, disconnect.
Yeah.
And so
that ain't me.
Yeah. That's yeah. I'm like,
yeah.
How do you manage that? Like not disconnecting? Because obviously there's a level of disconnection that you have to do for your sanity.
Yeah.
And to be able to put the theories and the science in practice properly. But you're human.
Yeah.
You know, so how I imagine the stories you hear, there have to be times where it just hits you and you're like, fuck, this is terrible.
Right. And so, and sometimes it's just like, I'm wait. Sometimes it is, I need the session to end because I'm on the verge.
Right.
So you're like, okay, we need to wrap this up because I know when you walk out, I'm because of my own stuff, I need to have a moment to collect myself.
Right. And I wonder that too, like you getting triggered with your own life through people's stories. I
mean, all the time. That happens. Like, because we're, like, you have experiences that, you know, people come in with problems, you're like, like, dealing
been
with that.
There.
Yeah. And it literally has happened where I've been talking with a client and the same thing is literally happening that week in my life. I'm like, man, this is some
that
stuff.
Collective consciousness.
Right.
Wow.
I'm like, whoa, okay. So but that's a gut check moment of like, okay, once I recognize it, I say, all right, I have to make sure that I'm turning down my volume right now. But I make a note, like, I gotta come back to this later because if this person's still dealing with this, I need to make sure I'm in a place to help this person. I can be present with them then and the next time.
But it's kind of beautiful because you're almost working through your own life by helping people work through theirs.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the most beautiful parts about therapy is not that it's not my process, but just by nature of being humans and connected,
emotional
there's
threads.
Always healing,
mm-hmm.
right? There's always healing. Part of the reason why I got into therapy was because I am a sensitive person and I have baggage that comes with that,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but now this is like the ultimate sublimation, right? I can use all of that sensitivity to be really empathic when someone's sitting across from me. Mm-hmm. And so that is like one way that I inadvertently kind of continue to work through that and make good use of something that used to be a liability for me.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah.
Turn on them L's into lessons.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's always good.
Now, I wonder what your thoughts are on things like what I call spiritual Twitter. And all these,
I don't even know about spiritual Twitter.
Well, that's what I call it. But I mean, so like the positive tweets and Instagram pages and Tumblrs where it's like, you know.
The little gems.
Right, gems all day, which I love. But sometimes I can see how they can be. Remember we had an episode about the toxic positivity?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where it's not so much dealing with the problem or getting to the root of it as it is this pressure to feel like you called it in somehow or it's your fault. Not so much victim blaming or shaming, but more so this thing of like everyone's going through it. You know, life is challenges, life is suffering. Just smile through it and be grateful. And there's like a lot of that. That almost makes you feel guilty for the feelings that you feel. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like what I call spiritual Twitter. They almost ignore the darkness that comes with being human and the human condition. And I always wonder, when you see tweets like that or Tumblr quotes and all these accounts, how much does that make you cringe that it's overlooking a lot of the processes that are excluded from the conversation?
Right. Yeah. I have a complicated answer to this because
love and light.
The love and light community.
I don't know. Like I do have. Well, my business does have an Instagram account. We do have a Twitter, so we do share some encouraging things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think it's called Viva Wellness, by the way.
Yes, plug that in.
Viva Wellness.
Viva Wellness NYC on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us. no, but it's. I think there's a fine line. There is a such thing as toxic positivity. Mm-hmm. Like I think that's a great way to describe it because there is no light without darkness.
Right.
Right, you only understand light in relation to darkness. And so if you're always trying to, you know, be positive and smile through it, it's like, no. Sometimes shit sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And like there's no positive bend to it. Sometimes you just have to make it through, and that's the best that you can do.
Making it through the day.
Hashtag
also tattoo. Sometimes you just have to make it through, and that's the best that you can do.
Amen. That's so Tumblr.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't like it because, for me, I feel like people are missing out on the process of actual healing. Like, that's not healing. So if you have stuff that you're dealing with, like, that is a Band-Aid. Mm-hmm. Like, just having, like, a spiritual quote or whatever is a Band-Aid. Like, healing, this is the way I think about it. When you break a bone, you go to the doctor. You, oftentimes, they're going to have to reset it. And that is also painful. Mm-hmm. And that is what therapy is. That's what healing is that sometimes you have to agitate the thing enough to be able to work through it and for it to heal properly.
I just felt that on my back.
It's like when you're picking at a scab, and then, you know, it's like, feel bad, but it feels a little bit better after you finally get it done. It's like, man, I'm glad that's over finally.
Or like throwing up after you was drunk.
Oh, my God, yeah, because you find, like, it's
a total healing. Like, oh, my God, I feel made over.
Welcome to the friend zone, Jarrell.
Right. I'm so happy you're here, man.
Thank you.
So, okay, so... Yeah, because I was just curious how that works, especially even, and I think there's a level of responsibility even with our show and podcasts where we do give advice, even though people know we're not therapists. They know a lot of our advice tends to be terrible.
I wouldn't say that.
Not terrible, but, you know, in a playful way. Yeah. But, you know, there is a responsibility. There's a responsibility because we're not licensed, you know, and then we are in the mental health arena.
Yes.
And wellness right now is an industry.
Yes.
It's very popular, but a lot of people aren't licensed. You know, we're kind of just giving our experiences and our opinions. And I wonder, you know, for people like yourself who are licensed, playing in the digital space, like even with us, how we have the listener letters or the asking for a friend, and most podcasts do, like how crazy does that drive you?
No, I actually.
Then we're like, girl, leave him.
Right, right.
No, I love it so much.
Really?
I love it so much.
You don't think it's detrimental or dangerous to society? No.
You'll never be sitting back listening, though, and you'd be like
no.
That's true.
I can tell this person's been hurt by the advice they're giving.
No, that's true. That happens.
Project.
That happens.
Project
No, because I think if you're real and upfront about who you are, what you are, what you do, like that, it's cool. Like, you share your experience, give your advice. That is not the same thing as like having a relationship and working with a therapist. So I don't see them as the same.
Right.
Like people are calling upon you guys, for instance, for that. They want that direct advice, which sometimes I don't or can't give because it's not appropriate in certain situations in therapy.
So we're like the school of hard knocks kind of.
Yeah, it's awesome. No, it's awesome. And so, I think you guys handle yourselves really responsibly in terms of like always uplifting therapy and mental health services and treatment as like a real valuable tool towards healing. If you weren't doing that, then I might be like, I don't know about giving out all this advice and stuff. But no, like if you're, I think that's a way because you're all human and people listen because they're human and they're relating. And so you don't want to always, you want to be connected. And, you know, if they can be connected in the way that you respond and they can understand that in whatever language or the way that you approach it, like that's good. Like that's always good.
Yay. Yeah. So we're not menaces to society.
No.
I don't feel so bad. Giving up my budget advice.
Now, therapy is expensive.
It can be, yeah.
Especially if you are seeing someone weekly, you know, over time. I know insurance covers it for the most part, but most people don't even have insurance. So that's where it can get kind of tricky.
Yeah.
Obviously, there are different resources like Talkspace. Shout out to Talkspace, which you can also find Jarrell on.
Yeah.
So what advice do you have for people that are really in need of these services but just do not have the funds?
Well, there's a couple of different options, and it depends on where you live, too, because, I mean, New York City has everything, but it's still, you know, inaccessible for some. I would say if you are looking to get therapy and you don't have a lot of money, I would say look into whatever local centers and community kind of based places that are around you, because sometimes they will have clinics that operate out of a church, for instance, or out of some community center. There might be a therapist who works there pro bono 2 days a week. Yeah, sometimes that happens. And so, like, so sometimes there are free things that you just have to, like, investigate a little further. Also, there are some good low-cost options. Like, one of the best out there, I think, for people who are who need therapy or want to take therapy but don't have a lot of money, there's a resource called the Open Path Collective, which has – it's a directory of therapists that opt in. So they offer a certain number of spaces on their caseload for a really reduced rate. And so those sessions can cost between $30 and $50. You know, so all of a sudden you have what is typical, you know, in New York City on the low end, maybe like $125, $150 a session. Like some providers will have, you know, to be on Open Path, which will be less, and some offer a sliding scale outside of that too. So if they say, oh, like my regular rate is X, and you say, well, actually, I can only afford this, and I can only afford it biweekly. Can you do that? A lot of times people will work with you. Sometimes you just have to try. Sometimes they won't, but sometimes they will.
Do you take coupons?
No.
Not coupons. Even the Bed Bath & Beyond ones.
What?
I mean, I love those.
Everybody take them.
Right. That 20% comes in like every 3 days. I love it. Yeah.
You know, I just had to ask. Every industry got their like secret something that they do
different
on the barter
systems on the low low.
Yeah.
Oh, actually,
do you take
that's
Jordans?
A good. Actually, though, bartering is acceptable.
Really?
For real? For real?
Wait,
yeah, yeah.
Give us an example.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. So,
look.
Do you need your hair braided?
Like the,
Well, it depends on what people you know what people want. But did you see? Oh my God, She's Gotta Have It on Netflix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So the series, right? There's one session where she doesn't have enough money. She paints the doctor portrait. That is a form of bartering.
Mm-hmm.
So like some depending on your circumstances, depending on like what you do, you might be able to say, well, I can trade this for a reduction on my services.
Oh shit!
Or
like if you're a web designer,
yeah,
maybe you can make
you say like,
the
oh, I'll update your website. I'll create business cards.
Y'all,
that's not terrible.
Do that.
I'm gonna bring you coffee on my way in.
I make really good tea.
See,
clip a toenail. Hey,
oh, okay, look.
Whoa! now you're my Anand Sheela.
Friend, I made some shea butter.
Wild
country. This particular one's got peppermint on it.
I bet you said friend. That's so interesting.
Yeah, so because a lot of times,
so it's honored.
Yeah, so
system.
People, yeah.
Y'all, do y'all hear that?
See, I knew something.
It's not every therapist,
but
it doesn't hurt to ask. Like, if you really need, like, listen, if you really need, like, please don't be ashamed to ask, because a lot of times therapists will do what they can. Also, understanding, like, this is how we make a living too.
Right.
So
yeah.
You want to be conscious of like, you know, if you find the right fit and you plan to stay for a while, like try and figure something out. Like they're going to work with you.
Oh, yeah. And obviously, you know, there are also, I'm sure, certain people that don't even live near therapists or have that, you know, depending on what part of the country you're in. Or
sure.
We have a global audience internationally. We can't assume that everyone has a therapist accessible to them.
Yeah.
And obviously, it's a case-by-case thing with treatments, but is there any process you can share that people can, you know, something tangible or concrete that you can share
yeah,
to
like
our
an,
listeners?
An
like,
accountability checklist?
Yeah,
or
like
something.
Some kind of audit, some kind of journal prompt, or maybe that's too foo-foo. But something that they can use as a
give
tool.
Give us a mantra.
Not a mantra, an affirmation.
3, 2, 1. 1, 2, 3.
But you know what I mean? Just something that people can use to kind of start the process of their relationship with themselves. Is there anything like a really useful and quick tool?
I don't know how quick or useful it is, but I'll say
this.
It
doesn't have to be quick.
No. I'll say this. Like one of the things I like doing with people, because we often people walk into therapy saying like, I'm not at my best self, right? You're like, I want to be better in this way. I want to have better relationships. I want to do whatever. And so one of the things I have done before with some clients is had them journal on the idea of, you know, what is your life now? And what is your life like in 5 or 10 years? What does that look like? And, like, really think about, like, who are you with? Who is around you? Where are you living? What does your housing look like? Do you have a dog? Do you have kids? Do you have whatever? And imagine that. And then you can start to see, like, where the gap is truly. Because if where you are now is not close to that, then you can see I'm not moving towards that. Then you can start to figure out, how do I move towards that? If this is what I really want, if this is what I envision for myself in the future, in the long-term future, then, like, I need to make sure that every day I'm taking a step towards that.
Almost like creative visualization.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's one thing.
Yeah. Okay, something to try. Now, this is a part where we're going to open it up to asking for a friend, where, you know, we get tons of emails, messages, tweets, texts. Everything, you name it, calls.
Okay.
But we thought what a treat it would be to have an actual therapist answer a couple of questions as opposed to our asses.
Okay.
So shout out to the lucky people who are getting chosen this week.
The lucky people who are getting an actual treatment today. Yes. So Asante, take it away.
The subject here is help, musty brain, BPD, or both. Hey, guys. I just want to start off by saying that I love your podcast. It's the only thing that keeps my musty brain fresh during my workday that is centered around draining people. I'm here for some advice. About 6 months ago, I met a new friend. When I first met her, she seemed like a pretty normal girl. We swapped phone numbers to keep in touch, and after 1 week of texting, she openly told me about the sexual abuse she endured as a small child. I don't know why she told me so soon, but I guess she felt comfortable enough with me after 1 week. I understand that it's very serious and can do crazy damage to a person's self-esteem, well-being, and all-around functionality. She has had issues in the past with self-harm and suicide attempts and behavior issues. As time went on and she became super attached and close to me and liked all the advice I gave her, fast forward to December, she tried to commit suicide again for the fourth time with her over-the-counter pain medication. I went to see her in the hospital, and she told me everything was all right, and she was going to a rehab facility to get help. She was gone from January to mid-March, and she called me 3 times a day during the time when she was in rehab, which is a little excessive for my liking. After 2 days of being home from rehab, she tried to commit suicide for the 5th time with a bottle of Benadryl.
Oh my goodness.
I feel like any advice I give her, she doesn't hear. She's now working with a therapist to work out her issues, and she struggles with overthinking and anxiety severely. She always needs confirmation that I'm not mad at her and that I am still her friend. Every time we talk, it's always about what's going on in her life or what's going wrong in her life, what new advice she needs, and just negative energy being thrown in my direction. I have a tendency to soak up people's energies, and so every time I talk to her, it's very draining. I hate being this person, but she's never asked how I am. It's only about her and what new bad thing is happening in her life. I've come to the realization that she has BPD, borderline personality disorder, which is a pattern of abnormal relationships, behaviors, and unstable sense of self. Basically, I just need some advice. I don't think I have a question here. Some guidance, please. I'm running on empty.
Wow.
So I'm just going to kick the ball your way.
He's just looking at me like,
that was go Jarrell's answer.
You know, when I read these emails sometimes, you know, I just think to myself, we get a lot of emails, and I'm just kind of like, I just don't really know, like, what type of best advice we could give to someone like this, you know?
Yeah.
We're about to break dance and pass the wave right over to you, Jarrell.
That's a tough question. It doesn't seem like this person is looking for a specific thing in terms of, like, advice, like, do this thing. But I would say, I think that you've done a great service to this person, to being there and supporting them. They're obviously in a lot of pain. And I think at the end of the day, you have to do what works for you. And so if this person, you know, is draining your energy, you feel like it's affecting these other parts of your life, then you have to create some boundaries. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. I know it might seem bad to this person because they have grown quite attached, but you still have to take care of yourself at the end of the day. And a relationship that is as one-sided as that is not going to sustain itself, no matter what form it takes, even if they're just friends. And so, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with creating some separation or distance and figuring out how you can continue, how the writer can continue to have themselves sort of filled by other people and like getting support for the things that's going on with them instead of always just expending energy with this person. The person they wrote about obviously would benefit from consistent care and support, professional support. It sounds like medication might also be a really good option. So I would say if you're still friends with the person, just continue to push them or nudge them into that direction of like sustained professional help, because it seems like they really need it and they need a plan to move forward.
Yeah. Do you find it hard? I know we talked about earlier establishing boundaries, but like as a person that's like emotionally intuitive and able to like kind of latch on to energies, I always find it very hard to like separate myself sometimes.
Yeah.
So do you find it hard to be able to like put those boundaries up when you're dealing with people that have like so much going on? And it's like, you know, you're always respective and receptive to what they're going through, but you don't want to be the one to be like, well, I'm going through this, so leave me the hell alone. But you want to be like, hey, like, you know, I hear that you're going through that, but I just can't really do this right now. Like,
Yeah. No, I think if you are a sensitive, like emotionally in tune person, you have to learn how to do that, because it will eat you and destroy you too. Like, you can't carry on everyone's problems, burdens, concerns always. Like, who's going to be there for you? You know,
tell me about it.
Like, it's going to ruin you. Like, not to be dramatic, but it will ruin you. And so you're going to have to find ways to be okay with saying, like, I can't be this for you right now. And that's actually what I would advise people, is to say that instead of like completely opting out of the relationship altogether forever. If it hasn't gotten to that point where you're just like completely done, early on say like, I actually can't do this with you right now. Let me get back to you tomorrow or 2 days from now. Then I can come back. I can be more present for you. And if you never get to be present again, then maybe that's not the relationship you should be in.
And not feeling bad.
And not feeling bad.
Yeah, because I think one of my...
don't have the bandwidth sometimes.
Yeah, one of my biggest issues is that I am a nurturer by nature. Mm-hmm. And so when... it's a habit of mine almost to like... the default setting, I should say, is when someone needs something, I'm just like, here, I'll help you fix it.
Sure.
But sometimes it hurts me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because people don't think about you the way you think about them.
Yeah.
You know? And so if you're doing that for everybody, you're putting yourself last. You're not thinking about you, and they're not thinking about you. True. Then what's going on?
Yeah.
Right. True. You know?
Right.
And it's hard because you just want to be helpful, but you're abusive to yourself in the meantime. So it's lessons. But I think you grow up and... you kind of start learning after you hit your head a couple times.
Yeah. No, and I also say, so one example, this is kind of a terrible example, but in Willy Wonka, there's Veruca Salt, right? Who's like a terrible character.
Yes.
But what I love about her is she's always so honest. She's like, no. What I want is what I want, and I want it now. So good, right? And so sometimes I tell people who are by default nurturers, who are caretakers, is that like sometimes you just need to demand what it is that you want and not be afraid to say that. That doesn't make you bad. It doesn't make you a bad caregiver. It doesn't make you a bad nurturer. Sometimes you just have to say, or a bad person, like, I need this from you right now. And like, it's okay to do that because other people are going to take from you. Mm.
Or learning to, what I've had to learn to say is, I don't like the way this feels, which is hard for me.
That's great.
It's just that so simple, or I don't want to do this, or no, I'm not in, like just the no's. The no's are hard for me.
Yeah.
Those boundaries, woo.
Yeah, they're tough.
Yeah, they're super tough.
That Chris Brown, I don't want to go there. I have another email here. The subject is, should I cancel this friendship?
Wow.
Okay.
I have this friend who is white, and her boyfriend is Arabic. A few weeks ago, she expressed to me that her boyfriend had an issue with the fact that she has dated primarily black men her whole life.
Uh-oh. Oh, boy.
I asked her what the issue was, and she said to me that he found it disgusting. That was the second offense. Oh, boy. I already didn't see it for her boyfriend because he said nigga in front of me, okay, and I had to cuss him out. She went on to tell me how much he doesn't like black men and all the racist thing he says. I was uncomfortable. I told her that I looked at her a certain way because how how could she date someone with these views of black people, black men in particular, especially when all of her friends are black and the people who love and protect her when he fucks up are black. Mm. I didn't like her response to my concern, so I haven't spoken to her as. She's been reaching out to me, but I honestly don't care to continue to have the conversation. Am I overreacting? Should I cancel this friendship?
It's already been canceled, number one. It sounds like very clearly it's already been canceled. That's a tough... Actually, that's not that tough. If you gotta know... I'm assuming that the person who wrote this is black?
Yeah, I'm assuming she's right? black.
If
she got a black name, but I ain't seen the name.
Fair enough. But, yeah, I mean, I can... Listen, I've dropped friends for far less than, like, them maybe being a closet racist. So, I don't think it's overreacting. I think if... The one thing I would say, though, is that if you haven't had a real conversation about, like, why, and you value the relationship you have with this person highly, because it may not matter if this is just someone, like, you drink with or hang out with, so, like, every once in a while, then maybe you just need to let it go. But if it's, like, someone you've been through some stuff with, and you haven't yet had a real conversation about why they need to understand what you're saying, then I would say try that before you completely give up. But at the end of the day, like, if it's not okay to be surrounded by people who, like, accept racism, period.
Especially since, I mean, this got to be their friend. Because they talking about whenever the other black boyfriends fuck up, they got to pick up this girl's heart.
Right. So now she needs to do better.
Now if this black person hate her, you know, breaks up her heart, they got to pick her up after right. too. So.
Yeah.
Just saying. He's just mad anyway.
Gotta be.
I wasn't
gotta
going
be.
To
gotta
go
be.
There.
Shall we give our advice? No, I'm just kidding.
No, are you mad? Because you know what came before.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
So you know.
So now, and then she hang out with black people too.
You may
so
not
now you
measure
look mad
up.
Every black person.
Oh, Jesus.
Measure up. You know what I'm saying? It may be what the problem is. You know, it's a deep-seated, rooted root cause. Give me some more terms, Jarrell. Give me some authentic, Jarrell. Let's legitimize what we really know the issue is. Yeah. We can move on to the next question. What you want to do, Asante?
Okay, because I was about to start chiming in, too.
Okay, because we could go on and chime. I'm ready to chime.
Listen, the person's obviously insecure and probably for multiple reasons. Hmm. I'll leave it at that.
That still don't add up.
Don't forget to email us at thefriendzoneatloudspeakersnetwork.com with all of your questions, comments, and concerns. I think that should be it for the questions. A lot of Beachella audio was sent in this
Not
week.
Not Beachella
That's
audio.
A lot of people linked us to the Beachella audio.
They sure did.
The love.
That's amazing. I have like 100 links to choose from.
Like thousands.
That's
well,
amazing.
I mean, obviously, the way you answer questions, I just wish we could have you on here every week.
Right, Jarrell.
Because
right?
it's just next level treatment. But I'm sure there are listeners that would love to become therapists themselves. Mm. You know, maybe they're in graduate school now. How was it trying to become one? Was it a hard process? Is it hard finding a job? Like, you know, how does that work?
It wasn't hard finding a job. We're also in New York City, so there's plenty of jobs to kind of choose from in social services.
Note that,
so
listeners.
If
a lot of people here need help.
There's a lot of people. And then a lot of people need help.
Right.
The training in grad school was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. Because it, at least my program, forced you to confront a lot of your stuff.
I love it. I'm ready.
Do so, your own shit first.
I mean, yeah.
I'll be in class like, let's do it! Let's
and,
get training!
Until you're crying in front
look,
of 30
look,
people.
They'll be like, anybody, friend, wave a friend about anybody else. Anybody else. Just friend.
Yeah.
Fine, Frank.
No,
ahead.
Like, I legitimately cried in front of classmates. And
oh, I love it.
It was
I
just like,
it.
It was some real
I'm
stuff.
Crying.
Yeah, it was some real stuff happening. So it was, and I think no matter what program you go to, though, you know,
no, let's get triggered.
Triggered.
Yeah, it's gonna go down. No, I think it's you have to be prepared.
Friend is at home.
This is my tribe. Right?
Yeah. Like, you sitting there talking about, yeah, ooh, that was a bit of an experience. And she's like, yes!
So excited. No, it was incredible.
Feelings.
Yeah, it was incredible.
It's like a quilt. I just want to swim in it.
You just want to test it through.
Now I just want to like have you go there and see like what happens.
Oh man,
that's amazing. No, it was tough, but I think if you want to be a practicing therapist, you obviously need to go to grad school. Find a program that fits for you.
Is like a 2-year program.
Typically 2 years, maybe a little more depending on like the requirements. My program was 2 years, but I was also like I powered through it. Mm-hmm. So it often takes people a little longer because it is very difficult. There's a lot of work. So you find a program that fits for you, like, and kind of have some idea what you might want to focus on, or who you might want to work with. And that may change, but I would say do that. You will likely incur debt from grad school.
Ooh,
so
we know it.
There's that. Be prepared for that. I don't know. What else is there? It's just it requires a lot of introspection.
So and like you have to
be, you have to be ready. And so a lot, actually one of the things that they, day one of orientation of our program, they recommended that everyone get a therapist.
Wow.
Because they were like, so yeah, you're going to be looking at a lot of stuff. Probably if you haven't had therapy before, you're probably going to like unearth some things that you weren't necessarily prepared to look at. So yeah, that like grad school for therapy can be a completely different experience.
You are making me laugh.
Right?
Right.
Very excited. Right. Very excited.
He's over here talking about therapy in the hard part. Right.
We're
getting a little
shaking
sticky.
Our
he's
head.
Like, yeah.
Right. Fran is over there.
You're like, woo! You know,
I'm money dancing.
Right. Yeah. I'm reliving like Millie in my rocking. Mind the tough parts I had, the moments I went through.
Millie rocking on a therapist couch, like
just excited to be here.
The therapist is like, cry, damn it, cry. Right. You're like, mm-mm.
Oh, cry now. Oh, man, that sounds so yummy.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty I mean, cool. Oh, I don't even, like, I'm lost in emotions right now. Do you have boundaries for being a therapist to your peers? Like, would you take us on, like, if we wanted you to be our therapist, or would you be like, too close? Or like Dustin says, too much me and you.
Yeah, it's gonna be too much me and you.
That's funny. Like, if
I'll be tweeting you, like, still see you on Wednesday at 3:30. No. We could talk about my daddy.
I'm easy. We can have our therapy session at the damn bar. I'm like, look now.
I mean, I would like to be friends with you guys, so therefore you should not be my clients.
Oh, that is so you close. Keep that separate.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, okay. I'm,
damn.
Yeah, I'm pretty good. I'm even like a couple degrees
right.
of like separation. Yeah, because it gets muddy very quickly. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah. Because then it's like, oh, you're out drinking with someone and they say something about your like your client who's their friend. And you're like, I can't know that. I can't know that.
Oh, shit.
Right? And it gets real messy very quickly. This is also why like I'm very careful on social media. Like sometimes like I don't look at things as much or as closely because I don't want to inadvertently like stumble upon a client's stuff because I don't need to know that. That's not fair for me to like go mining for, you know, all this other data about their life outside of space. I need to take what they tell me.
That's true too, because the client's only going to tell you their side.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily mean that it's what's happening.
Yes.
Right.
Until you see, because Twitter is a summer jam. The screenshots people put exposing each other.
So bad. Screenshots.
The summer
now.
Jam screen. You'll be like, you didn't tell me that part. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you wouldn't take a song. Okay.
No.
Noted.
Yes.
I'll get another one. So before we get out of here, tell, like, shamelessly plug yourself in. Tell people. Actually, no. I want to know how you got involved with Talkspace. Because that's how we found... Well, yes. I've known you before Talkspace.
Yes.
Yes, me and you go way back. Yes. But how did you get involved with Talkspace?
I got involved with Talkspace because I was looking to supplement my income. I wanted to meet different clients. And I was in the process of, like, figuring out what I wanted to do long-term in this field. And I don't know. I actually, like most people, saw an ad on the subway for it. And I was like, sick. Oh, like, this is interesting. So I emailed the person about it, and we got to talking about what they do and how you can meet people in so many different like places. Like to think that my client could be at work sending me a note like while they're experiencing something is really cool because I'm getting the most raw data as possible, as opposed to getting a distilled version if they wait a week, which sometimes happens.
Right,
that's
right.
You're so
like, a lot of times people are like, oh, you know, this thing happened on Tuesday, but I don't feel that strongly about it now.
Yeah.
Right.
That's me.
So, you know, some of that happens. So, I reached out to them, and they have a great like vetting process, and it's gotten even more thorough and comprehensive since I joined a few years ago. So I've been with them working part-time with them for a few years. And I think it's a really cool platform. And so if anyone's thinking about therapy, but you're not sure that you can sit across from someone yet, you're feeling a little nervous, try out Talkspace and, you know, take it from there.
Mm-hmm. Good way to get your feet wet.
Yeah, you get a little feel for what it's like to talk to a therapist and what the process is like. And then some of them, like I'm on Talkspace, but I have an in-person office. Ooh. So like sometimes I've had a couple people transition. They say like, oh, I met you on Talkspace, but I'm in the city too. Can we actually meet face-to-face? Sometimes that happens too. So it's like, it's cool. There are options.
And you don't think that the digital aspect of Talkspace takes away from it in any way? Like, because I know for me, I almost think, I feel like I'd be more honest if, like, you're in my face. You know what I mean? Like, whereas with a text, I can kind of, like, you know, dilute it a little.
Well, you know what's really funny?
If you look at me in my face, it's going to be harder for me to, like, not show you raw emotion.
No backspace.
No backspace, no backseas. I might cry, you know.
Well, so the interesting thing is, you know why Twitter trolls exist, right? It's because you can online. You can say whatever you want. So there's actually a disinhibition effect of online communication that makes people go more sooner. Yeah, so people often what happens is like sometimes people will come on to a platform like Talkspace and just be like, here it is.
And be like, brrr.
Which would never happen in face-to-face because then you're looking at someone assessing you and like gathering information. You know they're gathering
That's
information.
So
and it makes people nervous.
For the people that send them long-ass text messages.
The you know paragraphs.
You know when you open up your phone and you're like, damn, why they sent this to me?
Oh my God,
look, next time they do that, she'll be like, you need Talkspace. Your therapist will love this shit.
Poor Jarrell, he must deal with paragraphs from his partners, from people texting him on Talkspace.
I read a lot every day.
I imagine.
Yeah. It's good, though.
So where can people find your services?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter, and I'm also a co-creator of a company called Viva Wellness.
And what's your Twitter?
My Twitter's my name, without the hyphen.
So it's J-O-R-E-L.
C-A-R-A-B-A-L-L-O. It's a my full name. And then you can also follow Viva Wellness NYC. We are a new holistic wellness practice.
So we're bringing. You looked at me.
Yeah, I did. You know, I was looking at you. So we're bringing in. So we want to make things more accessible for people. So if you don't want therapy, you don't feel like you need therapy, there are other options. You can have coaching from someone on a specific issue that also happens to be a licensed therapist. So you know you have that foundation. Mm-hmm. So we do career coaching, mindfulness coaching. I do relationship coaching for individuals, couples, thruples, whoever.
So if I was on a polyamorous.
We in it to win it.
Oh, shit.
Come see us.
I'm here for that.
Ain't that some shit?
All y'all go see us.
Okay, right. All 12 of y'all, look, come on in.
Ain't none of us moving forward with our relationship until we all go to therapy.
Could you imagine?
Can you imagine? You always got to get an Uber Plus.
Right? Yeah, 6 or 7 people come in and sit down for therapy.
The max.
I love it. Yeah. So we do everything. And we have a dietitian on board. So if you want to consult with a dietitian about either managing depression and all this sort of stuff.
Yes, because a health people coach, overlook how food affects your emotions, especially your gut health.
Come on, man. Drinking my
yeah. Shout out to kombucha.
Yeah.
So you guys, so wow.
Yeah, and the whole idea is that we're a team. Like often you can have these services, but they're in different places.
Right.
People don't communicate. Right. So we're a team. So you can work with me for therapy, for instance, and you can work with my partner who is a health coach on finding motivation to work out regularly. Or you can also partner with a dietitian to get you a meal plan for every day of the week. So we can help you be that idealized version.
What a collective.
So it's an integrated form.
It's actually integrated.
Wow.
Health. Yeah. So that's what we're doing.
How much would something like that cost? Like, is there a scale or?
It depends. You know,
if I wanted all of y'all.
I don't know.
The team.
The whole squad.
Okay. Yeah. They're all separate, but I think if you wanted this sort of like package, we work with people to you definitely get a discount if you're doing more than one service.
Right.
So like we can combine and package things where like we can even have our health coach is going to do some like text-based support. So like if you are, let's say like you are really struggling to get out of bed that morning and you know you need to run or you know you need to do this, like you can have someone who's like quickly saying like, okay, here's what you should do. Like you can do this.
And talking you
through
it
in real time.
Wowza.
Too. Yeah.
Like a living coach in your house.
Yeah.
Okay. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And you guys take insurance?
Yeah, so we take insurance for therapy. For the other services, we can't. Because they're
you.
Not covered by insurance.
Got you.
Yeah.
And where can they find more info on this?
You can visit our website at vivawellnessnyc.com. It's all there.
Wow.
Jarrell. Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. Yes. I've got to figure out how. Well, you won't treat me because we're friends.
Yes.
But everyone else, I'll ignore you when I walk in.
We can say hi. Yeah. You can say hi. Yeah.
Have you guys ever had therapists?
I have.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
How was your experience?
Amazing. And it helped me get through something that was like really, really fucking with me.
Mm.
And I figured it out. And guess how I met it was a lady.
Mm-hmm.
I was at a conference for another job that I had. And she was facilitating part of the conference. And she talked about the other work that she did. And what she did in that space was so... It just really impacted me. Mm. And I got her card. We were talking, and she gave me her card, and I ended up using her services.
That's so you got lucky. You found one. Mm-hmm. Boom, straight shot.
Awesome. Wasn't even looking for one.
Yeah.
Just had a connection with this lady. Like, who is this? She was pregnant and everything. And we just, like, I don't know. It was crazy.
How long did you guys work?
Probably about 4 months. And then I really didn't. I mean, once I had kind of gotten a handle on things, it didn't make sense for me to continue.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it was specifically for that.
Yeah.
So after that was over, yeah. But I might have to send her a text like,
hello.
Hey, big head.
Knock, knock.
Yeah.
Hello.
And I mean, that's the therapist's goal is not to be like this long term forever treatment, but you want to actually see that they don't need you anymore after a while, right?
It's a weird relationship because like the goal is to like...
You want to be dumped at
some
point.
Yeah, like we want to be dumped. That means that like you got the skills, you got the things, you know what you're doing. But it's also, to Dustin's point, it's like also always the best feeling to know that at another stage in life, someone comes back and says, you know what? Like, you were really helpful to me and I trust you. Like, can we work on this?
Right.
Like, that's an incredible honor. So,
that's true.
Yeah.
Because I always wondered, I know people who have had therapists since they were little mm-hmm. and they still have them mm-hmm. as adults. And there's a part of me that's like, that's cool because it's like you have this person who knows you since then and has seen all your evolutions, all the versions of you, has walked you through, has been your guidance.
Yeah.
There's also the other element of me that's like,
damn, you ain't confronted all your bullshit.
You know, like, you still with them? Like, what have you learned?
Yeah.
Where have the processes come in if you are still needing to see the same person 30 years later?
Well, and I will say, because I've worked with a couple of clients, not for that long, but for a couple years, and it also changes. So it's kind of like you might come in with, sometimes, not for everyone, sometimes you come in with an acute problem and you say, right, like, oh, I need to work on this thing. Like, I got to fix this because it's getting in the way.
Right.
And so maybe you're there for a couple months and then that thing gets resolved. And so you kind of have this question of, like, do I end it now or do I stay here? Like, what is, like, and then you have that conversation. So I have some people who came in with something that was initial, like, specific. We worked through that. And then we go into a different kind of process, which is more about, like, maintenance and and saying, like, okay, I need this space because this is the only space that this kind of thing exists. So I'd still like to come. Maybe I'll come less often. Right. Maybe I'll just come when I need to. So I'll call and schedule you, like, you know, however often. But sometimes it can change. And, you know, I think, obviously, I think once you're in like a decade plus, like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, like that's, like, I get a little concerned of, like, are you dependent?
Is it an attachment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, but I think that's also on the part of the therapist to say, like, all right, like, where are we? What have you really gotten? Because what's happening? Like, why are you still here? And that should always be a part of the conversation.
Right. And I'm sure, because humans are going to human. There are some therapists that it's a business.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Just like with any other industry, there are people that are like, yo, I'm going to need my $150, $200 a week.
Okay. Every week.
Here's another problem you
retainer,
have.
Retainer, shit.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, so, but I guess that's where discernment comes in.
For sure.
And knowing what you're getting out of it.
Right.
Have you had a therapist in Sante?
I have not.
No?
Mary Jane.
Mary Jane. Have you ever wanted one?
Passively.
Yeah.
I've always thought to myself, yeah, I wouldn't mind a little therapy, but nothing that's been like, all right, I need to take my ass.
I must do this.
I need to go do this shit now.
Right.
Yeah.
But passively, I always thought to myself, like, I could benefit from a little therapy. You know, a few sessions.
Yeah.
A few sessions.
I actually wrote a blog post that everyone can benefit from therapy. You may not always need it, but you can always gain something from it.
Of course.
Right? Because I think it's, like, really powerful to have, you get a mirror, like, that has a different perspective.
Right.
And so they're going to make you see things that you don't see.
Ooh. Mm. I've wanted one, but I do so much introspective work on myself that there's a part of me that feels like, we just be sparring in the session. Like, I'd be like, okay, but did you try this? But do you use oils?
Right.
But have you ever eaten this? But have you, you know?
This is why therapists are tough clients, too. Because they're like, oh, yeah, I know what you're doing. So, yeah.
They're just going to stop talking to you, friend. It's my friend, whenever you want to start.
Right. So what would you like to do for
Brandon to be in the damn therapist?
Right.
You know, I'll be hugging them. And be like, it's okay. You can let it out.
Yep. Send your invoice.
No, I'm just kidding. I think it's amazing. And it's actually something that I've been wanting to do just because as much as I have worked on myself, I obviously, on a human level, I still get triggered. There's still, like, program. I call it software. Software that is still running in me, especially with money and my relationship to poverty and, you know, family, and especially now in career. Like, I'm out at levels that I'd never been in before and no one around me is in.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm imagining, like, a career therapist or something, you know, like something like that, where I guess that would be more acute, as you said, more focused. But there's always levels of life where the little devils start coming in, no matter how much work you've done. And it'd be nice to have someone kind of help you sift through all those different changes and old things that are kind of coming up.
Yeah.
But I'm so thankful that you came today.
Yes, Jarrell.
Thank you.
So happy
Thank you for having me.
You're so clear and well-spoken. Like, he's just so, all his thoughts are just, like, so clear.
Right. Like, now that we're friends, I can be black and black. If you come down with some therapist coupons or something, you know, I might let me know. Damn therapist
That Bath & Beyond. But it's just, I just admire how your advice is just, it's almost like you're channeling the information. And obviously you've been doing this for so many years now, so it's like second nature, but you're just so clear in how you speak and give advice.
You do make it easy.
Goals, you make it look so effortless.
Thanks.
And I love it because I want our listeners to know, like, you're funny and young, you know, and playful.
Yes.
And imagine a therapist that you get to go to on a weekly basis, who's happy to see you, who's excited to talk to you and welcoming you, and you guys can have jokes. It's not this sort of sterile environment that I think most of us have painted it to be, but it's like a friend, like a real friend. Obviously, there's boundaries, but you know,
get some old person to sit down and listen to me,
right? Who's not gonna say anything,
right?
Who smells like up on their nose the whole time,
right on their notepad,
yeah,
right?
And that's the other thing too. I think we assume that a therapist doesn't actually say anything,
right?
You just sit there while we cry, and then they tell you that your next appointment, the time's up, and you see you next week at 3:30.
Right.
And that's kind of as much engagement as you'll get from them.
It depends on the therapist.
Right. It's good. And that's, I get that too. You guys are human, so we're going to get different personalities.
Yeah, for sure.
From different therapists. Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I like to be, it's a collaboration to me.
Right.
I'm bringing one set of things. I literally tell every client this. I'm bringing training experience, this very specific thing. You're bringing all the good stuff.
Right.
You're bringing the juice. You're bringing all the stuff, the meat that we have to work with. So we're partners in this.
Right.
So we're going to work. I'm always going to check in. We're always going to work through it together.
Right. You're a collective.
Yeah.
I love it. I love feelings.
All the feelings.
All the feelings.
Feelings.
Oh. We hope.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wait. How would someone find you on Talkspace specifically?
Ooh,
do they just ask you? Like, how does that work?
You can. I'm not taking new clients on Talkspace at the moment.
Ooh.
Ooh,
so
he is booked. Booked.
It happens. but yes, you can ask for me. You can also just email me or, find me through my company website. Email me. We can figure out what we can do.
And what's your email?
It is Jarell at VivaWellnessNYC.com.
And Jarell is Jorel.
Yes.
VivaWellnessNYC.com.
Yes.
There you go, guys. Yeah. We hope we took a little bit of the weirdness of therapy and the stigma and the coldness and whatever else taboo feelings that our communities tend to have around these types of conversations. And I think it's cool. We got to have a therapist, a real-life therapist that we're cool with, come in and show you how cool it is. So hopefully those of you who have kind of been on the fence about it will consider it now. Those of you who don't have the finances will take Jarell's advice on looking for local options. Talkspace is a great option. I know it's not cheap, but it's an option. Try it for, a couple of sessions and just kind of see how you feel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And take it from there.
Absolutely.
That's it for this week's episode, Jarell. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Jarell.
You're amazing.
Keeping it real amazing. With Jarell.
I like that.
Hey, do you guys have any church announcements before we get out of here?
We'll see everybody in Chicago on May 12th, like you said earlier. At the Friend Zone Live in Chicago. We can't wait to see you. Tickets on thefriendzonelive.com. That's it for now.
That's not a day.
Tickets for If I Were a Rapper coming up. It's going to be in New York City, June 6th.
Oh, where are we?
Details to come. Details to come. That's right. That's
June
right.
6th.
It's on a Wednesday night. It's a hump day and a hump night, I guess.
Oh, hello. Hello.
You know, I'm just giving you the heads up. Tickets will be going on sale soon, so stay tuned. That's it for
me. It's going to be a wild Wednesday.
Wild Wednesday.
As always, we love you guys. Thank you so much for listening.
Do you have church announcements, friend?
I don't. Not this week. Nothing I can share this week.
Is that why you blue, friend?
No, I'm just playing.
This is why you look so cute in your blue.
Stay black, y'all, and protect your magic.
We love you guys.
Thank you, Jorell.
Bye. Thanks, Jorell.
Thanks.